Are you ready to become awesomer? Hello, everyone. My name is Umar Hamid. I'm your host on the No Limit Selling Podcast, where industry leaders share their tips, strategy, and advice on how you can become better, stronger, faster. Just before we get started, I've got a question for you. Do you have a negative voice inside your head? We all do, right? I'm going to help you remove that voice in under 30 days guaranteed. Not only remove it, but transform it. So instead of the voice that sabotages you, there's one that propels you to much higher levels of performance and success. There's a link in the show notes. Click on it to find out more. All right, let's get started. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the No Limit Selling Podcast. And today we're going to have someone that's started in real estate before the ups and downs in the pandemic. And as a new agent, what's that like and how do you stay true to your course? Today, I'd like to welcome Nate. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me, Umar. Happy to be here.
Superb. So you're part of Keller Williams now. Were you always Keller Williams or did you come in a different way?
I started with Keller Williams and I started in August 2015 and I'm still with Keller Williams today. So it's worked out so far.
So how long did it take you to really realize this was the industry for you? Because, you know, when you start, it can be daunting because there's lots of licensing and continuing education.
Yeah. So when I started, I watched my dad transition into real estate. Growing up, he was a minister. So he transitioned into real estate in 2012. And I was able to kind of watch him and just see that transition. And it really kind of piqued my curiosity, if you will. And I remember there was kind of just like one point where I just kind of made the decision, like, I'm going to jump in with both feet and I'm going to give this everything I have. And I didn't really have a plan B, so to speak. So I really was motivated to figure it out and make it work, so to speak.
There's something to be said for burn all the boats. There is no plan B. This is the one, got to make it happen. Mm-hmm. And one of the places it comes from is Hernan Cortez. And he was given the assignment to go create a beachhead in the Yucatan Peninsula so the Spanish could invade South America. And as he gets there, he went with 10 boats and he bribed, cajoled the captains to sink the boats except for one. And by the time the sailors figured out 300 of them, what he had done, they're ready to kill him and lynch him. And he's like, you could kill me or you could go on an adventure with me and conquer a continent. I left one boat available. Anybody that wants to go back to Cuba is where they were headquartered can mm-hmm. do that. But the people that want to make history and untold riches come with me. And that's where they burnt the last boat and went on an adventure and
come. The rest is history. Yeah.
So how many transactions did you do in the first year?
So my first calendar year was 2016. I did 29 ends that year. Prior to getting into real estate, I'd worked a lot of jobs. While I was going to university, I had plans to become a teacher initially. There wasn't a lot of opportunity teaching positions available. I had a lot of friends that were struggling to find employment in that line of work. So this opportunity came up. And like I said, I really just wanted to kind of grab it by the horns and make it work so that that 2016, that first full year, I think I did around like 225 GCI, which was really like life changing for me at the time.
And those other transactions were huge.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and as they say, the first year is always the hardest, right? Cause you're not coming in with like a stable of clients or a big database, if you will, right? So, that really opened my eyes and really kind of got me excited to see how far I could take this thing. So 2017, I did 43 transactions. 2018, I did 50. 2019, I did 71.
Wow.
2020, the pandemic year, which was an interesting year, I did 72. So I still did one more than the previous year, despite everything that was going on. 2021 has been my biggest year because we had the market was on fire here. So I ended up doing 84 transactions that year. GCI just over 1.6. So it's been a very good year. Last year I did, I think, 67 transactions, right around
really good.
Yeah, 1.2 in a shifting year last year. Last year, my first 3 months were the busiest Q1 ever, busiest quarter period ever in my career. And then it was like almost like the slowest last 6 months because what was happening in the market and everybody was kind of hitting the pause button and the shifting market and everything like that. But still a very good year. And then so far year to date, what am I at? I think I'm at 26 transactions so far this year.
Nice. So even though you were becoming successful and more successful as you went, were there times where you second guessed yourself in the industry? And tell me one of those times, what caused you to second guess and how did you kind of get over that and get back on track?
Yeah, I can still remember vividly in my first year in 2016, it was probably like January, February. I didn't have a lot going on because this is my first experience at a winter market, if you will, as a realtor. So I was doing everything. I was out full suit, door knocking, January, February. It's very cold here, snow, freezing.
And what is here?
What's that?
And where is here?
I'm in Ontario, Canada. So we're just about an hour east of Toronto.
Excellent. I happen to be in Toronto today. So just down the street a bit.
Perfect. So we're in Durham region, if you know where that is. And so I remember being out door knocking. And as you know, with door knocking, it's can be very hit or miss, right? So I remember I was going out. I was doing hours and hours of it. I really was starting to get discouraged. I was coming from a background, I didn't make a lot, but I was used to getting a steady paycheck every 2 weeks or every week. So I think it was a transition getting adjusted to that, right? So I remember calling my dad and being like, you know, I don't know if this real estate thing's for me. Like, maybe I should have kept my steady paycheck job. Like, there's not a lot happening right now. And he was just kind of quick to remind me, like, you know, this is a down month for a lot of realtors. But if you can put in the work now, the effort and work you put in now are going to dictate, you know, how you do in 3-4 months and what you make in 3-4 months. So I tried to keep, there's definitely ups and downs, but I definitely had some downs in that first year, but I tried to like bounce back my mindset as quick as I could. I didn't want to dwell in those kind of spaces. And so, you know, but I think one of the biggest things I learned in that first year or two was not to ride the roller coaster that real estate can be, because you'd have one really good month and you'd be on cloud nine way up here. And then the next month would be a bit slower and you'd be down here and discouraged. And I found it was tough for me to be at my best if I was constantly riding that roller coaster. So one of the things I learned the most, I think, in that first year was like my mindset and just to kind of try and keep an even keel. It, you know, right now, whether I do sell 15 houses in a month or two, I'm still the same guy. You know, and I credit that a lot to like learning those ups and downs in that first year and just trying to focus on the bigger picture and not be caught up in like what's happened in necessarily the last 30 days and riding that wave, you know?
Brilliant. It's all about mindset. And this is a perfect segue to one of our sponsors. Hold on for a second.
Okay. To let go of anxiety, let go of uncertainty, let go of doubt. Mindset Boosters gives you the ability to decide how you act and feel in any situation. Ready to take charge of your mindset? Go to mindsetboosters.com.
Love it.
So mindset is everything. And on this particular app, it's very much gives you the tools you need when you need them. So let's talk about prospecting is such a critical part of your business. And when you were talking about your dad being a minister, I might've been off here when we chatted about him, that it must've been right up his alley.
Yeah,
so he was to like plow the fields first and do all the hard work before harvest comes. One of his like sermons.
Yeah, my father was always a very sociable guy. I like to think I'm similar in that way. And I think kind of growing up in that environment, one thing I look back on now, and I think it's really, really helped me with where I'm at today, is growing up in the church and as a minister's son, you're dealing with people of all different ages, all different walks of life. And I really puts my mind at ease, and I really feel comfortable with anybody. Like, I could have young first-time homebuyers who are 25. I'd have a seller who's 80 years old. I really feel like I can connect with anybody at any age. And it really has made me kind of feel more comfortable with myself and having those conversations with a variety of different buyers and sellers that you might be working with.
So I was at a car show the other day. It was to raise money for Peel Crime Stoppers.
Okay.
People can call in a tip if something's going wrong and they want to remain anonymous. And one of the cars was this souped up car, and this old geezer, like way in his 80s. It was his car. And as I was chatting with him, and he told me how old he was, and I think at some point he was incarcerated, had all kinds of medical issues, but he's better now. And I was saying, you know, so tell me the secret. Like, how did you, transcend all of this stuff? And this was his pearl of wisdom. I'm grateful for everything.
Yeah.
The tea I have in the morning, that I've got a bed, and being grateful for those little things makes a difference in the big things. And it kind of, the reason I shared the story is one of the things that you ended up articulating was, I, Nate, don't define myself with the results I get. Mm-hmm. And certainly when the results are low, you don't define yourself, but it's so easy for people to get caught up in their ego when they have a phenomenal month. I am fantastic.
Yeah.
And then if you start drinking your own Kool-Aid, that's just a pathway to something
100%.
Right.
Yeah.
So let's break this super easy industry down, real estate, you and I, Nate. Let's talk about prospecting. Mm-hmm. Give us five tips that realtors could use to be great prospectors.
So I think lead generation is probably like the biggest hurdle to overcome for any agent. That's the meat and potatoes of our business. Of course, conversion is important too, but if you don't have good lead generation activities and systems in place, it's going to be tough to flourish, right? So I would say, like, depending on where you're at in your career, I think, like, for me, it was like, let's try everything in that first year or two. Let's try open houses, door knocking, cold call. Let's try everything and let's track how that activities are working for me. Let's see how I can improve on them. And let's try that for at least 6 months or 6 months to a year, right? I think some people try different activities and they don't work in 2 weeks and they give up on them, or they, like, a month and they give up on them. And I think you got to give everything a fair shot. And then I would say, like, once you get into that, you're a year in, you've been doing those activities, those different pillars, you should be tracking how effective those different pillars are for you. And I think in your year, your second year, or your third year, you should be figuring out, okay, what activities are most productive for me and what maybe is not the most effective use of my time? Because you don't need to do everything. You could do one pillar, two pillar, three pillars really well and still be very successful in this business. So what I found, what worked for me, was open houses and social media was a big part of my business. Starting out in 2015 and 16, I didn't have a lot of money. I didn't have money to go buy bus signs and bench signs. Mm. Looking back on it, that's probably a blessing now, because I don't think that's the right move starting out. At the time, social media was free. There was no boosting ads. It was all just basically organic growth. And I really saw that as an opportunity to help kind of provide myself with a unique value proposition. I quickly found out, when you're going in for listing appointments, quite often they're meeting with other agents. And when I'm in my first year, I can't beat them on experience, right? Yes. So what I wanted to double down and triple down on was that social media, that online presence. How can I do this really well and really effectively in a way that maybe an agent who's been in the business 20, 30 years can't do that, right? What I quickly found was that it really resonated with buyers and sellers, with the younger demographic who have a grasp on social media. Like, they see it through and through. And then right. I even found what I maybe wasn't expecting was some of the older demographics who aren't quite as social media savvy, if we want to call it that. They saw the value and opportunity there. And because it wasn't something that they were really like one of their strengths, they saw it as a good partnership because they were like, okay, these are things that maybe I'm not the best at, but I can tell that you have a good grasp on it. And I would really leverage video views and exposure on listings. Like I could say like, oh, you know, we're going to-
You exposed yourself?
What's that?
Did you say you exposed yourself?
No, but like my exposure from my listings, right?
Absolutely.
So like 20,000, 30,000 views, I can, you know, I can meet with a seller and I can say, look, we can get tens of thousands of views within days on social media. Like that's a lot more value than just a sign in the front lawn in an MLS listing. Right. Absolutely. So that was, I started to be able to kind of leverage that, grow my following. I did open houses every single weekend, except for basically Christmas. The first 3 years I was in the business, I didn't have a lot of listings like every single week. So I would cover other agents' listings. So I would have different agents that would just know, like, if I have an open house, let's go to Nate, right? And then I would advertise those open houses on my social media. And it would be every week, right? And even though they weren't always my listings starting out, it started to show consistency and frequency. And people naturally started to assume, oh, Nate's a really busy guy. Even though starting out, a lot of those weren't my own listings, I was still able to leverage those and find opportunities with other clients and generate business that way.
Brilliant. So let's backtrack on what you said. One of the common themes in the podcast, and we're at episode 303. So we've had lots of conversations with people. Some of the most successful people, one of the things they talk about is hard work and doing the work you need to do to get the job done and not treating this like, I've got free time. I can do this or that. And so one of the things that you mentioned was, you know, hey, doing those open houses was one, and that's a great way to meet people and get new listings and new
100%.
People that want to buy houses. Second thing was that you tested everything, and it wasn't like a 2-week test. It was like a 6-month to a year test.
Yeah.
And putting the, because it's a pain in the ass measuring those stats.
Yeah.
But once you figure out your formula, then you go, this is the one for me. And the second thing is I'm doing open houses, and out of every open house that I do, or every 2 open houses I do, I get an opportunity. And out of every 3 opportunities, I get a sale. But then you can go, how can I change the open house experience? So I change the math on the results I get. Mm-hmm. Unless you're measuring, you can't do that.
Exactly.
So dear listeners, map out a longer term strategy, be prepared to invest time into it. And then if we go back to the opening part of your story, you're in the dead months in the wintertime. Not a lot of people want to speak to you. You're not getting a lot of great results, but your dad is like, hey, springtime's coming.
Yeah.
And all this work you're doing right now is going to pay dividends. And so sometimes the hard work that you're doing now, you can't see the results right away, but you're investing in the future.
Right. Exactly. Like that was February 2016. And my breakout month was April 2016. I think I did like 7 deals in 1 month. And I had only sold like 4 or 5 homes previously before that. So, and that month like really opened my eyes and really just lit me on fire to like want to keep going and keep making this work. Right. But that also goes back to the riding the highs and being low in the lows. And I find like now 8 years in, it's like I said, you'll never know if I'm having an amazing month or a down month. Cause I'm the same guy. When I'm meeting with you, I'm the same guy. You'll never be able to detect that. Right. So, and one thing I wanted to mention was I like to listen to Gary Vaynerchuk. And one thing that he said that, stood out to me is most people overestimate what they can accomplish in a year, but underestimate what they can accomplish in 5 years. And that to me was powerful because I think that really resonates with the real estate industry. That's why we see such a high turnover here, right? Like I don't know what the exact stat is, but 3 out of 4 are out of the business in 2 years. And I think that's because there can be this idea that you just get into real estate, the phone starts ringing, the business starts blowing up, And by year two, you're crushing it, right? And very rarely does that happen. But if you're consistent over a few years, usually by year two, year three, year four, year five, you're growing your business. And then once you hit a spot, you know, maybe where I'm at today, where I feel like as long as I take care of my clients, as long as I keep doing what I'm doing, I'll be able to sustain and grow my business. And, you know, right now, like I never really liked cold calling. So I don't cold call. I haven't cold called in 6 years and I'm still able to make this business work. And I just find like, I like to do what I enjoy and I find I'm better at it. And, you know, that's not a knock on cold calling because I know agents that do very well with that. But I think there's a lot of different personalities.
You gotta find your own lane.
Yeah, different recipes for success and how to be successful in this business, right? There's no one way to do it, right?
Definitely. So tell me, how did it change your relationship with the office you're in when you kind of had this breakout first year? 29 transactions, or like the April breakout April with 7 transactions in April.
Yeah.
Your first kind of official year. How did your reception change within the brokerage?
I think I was well received right from the get-go before I was even starting to do business. But then I would say that like once like people saw like, oh, this guy's like serious. Like he's doing open houses in January. He's doing open houses on May long weekend. He's not taking a month off social media here and there. Like he's consistent. And I think people could see that. And maybe at the start, some people might have thought, oh, you know, it's a lucky month or, you know, Nate's just got these deals falling into his lap. But The longer I was able to sustain and grow that, I think people could start to see like, oh, you know, this isn't just an accident. Like this, he's putting in the work, you know, right. And I was, they say, if you want what a lot of people don't have, you got to do the things that a lot of people don't want to do. And that was me in the first year. Like if I didn't have an open house, it was May long weekend, I'd be calling an agent. I could convince them, let's do an open house, you know, even if they weren't planning on doing one. Like I always found a way to be working and I wanted to have as many conversations as I could with potential home sellers and buyers and keep that dialogue open. And my mindset right from the get-go, I was working even from the first year. I saw a lot of these people that I was working with had worked with agents in the past and they weren't working with them that second time. I said, I never want to be that agent. I want to make sure they have the absolute best experience possible, even if it means doing a little extra work or going above and beyond. I want to make sure like I'm their realtor for life. You know, when I started, I'm 36 now. I was 20, either 28 or 29 when I started out. Like I said, I didn't have a plan B. I knew I wanted to be a realtor for 40 years or more, or however long I wanted to work. Like this is what I wanted to do. So I made it my personal goal to make sure like everybody had the best possible experience. And a lot of that comes back to like, I like to under promise, over deliver. So I'm not the guy who comes in and tells you some crazy number on your house just to get the listing and then have you be disappointed. So I'm very transparent with my sellers. I don't sugarcoat things. I think they appreciate that. And then I think a lot of what I do is I would attribute to just like being able to build rapport with people and have these personal connections and conversations. And a lot of that I attribute to the way I was brought up and just, you know, always being around people and knowing how to talk to them and stuff like that. And then another thing that I didn't mention, but I was in a bad car accident in 2010, which would have been 5 years before I got into real estate. So I broke my leg, I broke my ankle. I was 21 months on crutches, 5 surgeries. It was a long ordeal, right? So going through that just kind of gave me a whole new appreciation just for walking, just for being able to go work, like that, those kind of things, right? So like going through that and then getting into real estate and being able to find my groove here, it's just insane to me to look back, because like 8 years ago when I started in real estate, like I'm telling you, I was broke. Like my first closing that spring, like I desperately needed it to pay my rent. Like I literally had no money and I was like, I had to use that one, my April month. Thank God I had one closing in March because I wouldn't have had money to stage those homes in April and do those things, right? So when I say it was tight, it was tight. But now looking back on it, it's like, I don't know if I made a lot of mistakes over the years, but people always ask me, if you could do anything differently, what would you do? And my answer is kind of cliche. It's like, I don't know that I would do anything differently because I definitely made mistakes, but I learned from them and I became a better agent from those mistakes, right? Absolutely. So if I could go back and not make those mistakes, I don't know if I'd be as qualified or be as good of an agent as I am today had I not made those mistakes and learned from them, right?
Or had that really bad experience. Because I think, so two things come out of what you said. One is a wise person once said that, you know, when tragedy strikes, the question to ask is, what's the gift within this tragic event?
100%. For you,
it was gratitude is what it sounded like. Gratitude for the basic things. Absolutely. And also a level of tenacity of just getting through this a day at a time. And that allows you to go. And I think just having that there isn't enough money to pay my rent is also a damn good motivator.
Oh, yeah.
To go, had you come in with cash in the bank, a little bit of coastiness, that could set the tone for the entire thing. Nate, before we part company, what's one last piece of wisdom you want to share with all the listeners?
I would say, like, no matter what industry you're in, I think that your mindset is your greatest tool. And, you know, in something like real estate, in some ways, it can become a popularity contest. Who does the most deals? X, Y. I think the only person you're really competing with is yourself. And I think everybody has different goals in this industry. And, you know, it's not all about maybe selling as many homes as possible. When I started out in real estate, my goal was to not have to go back to another job because I hated 99% of my other jobs. I didn't have any experience with a career that didn't really feel like work. And that's what real estate to me is, like a passion. I don't get up in the morning and feel like, oh, I got to go to work today, right? Surely there's things, you know, naturally throughout the year that come up and you're like, oh, that's a little stressful or whatever. But overall, as a whole, I would say, like, I don't know, when you find your passion, it's crazy how far it can take you. And I really do feel like I have found my passion here. I really couldn't see myself doing anything else. And like I said, if you're feeling discouraged in your first year or two, like you just gotta get through it. The first year is always the hardest, and then the second year, and every year after that, as long as you keep doing and keep doing the activities you need to do, keep putting in the work you need to put in, you're gonna get to where you need to go. And I think that the mindset is such a powerful part of that.
Absolutely. There's right now I'm reading a book about Winston Churchill's first year as prime minister, as Germany declared war on them. And he's got this quote that I like: when you get to hell, keep going. Right at the end of the tunnel, don't give up. Nate, thanks so much for being on the show. What's the best way for people to get a hold of you?
So you can find me on social media. My handle is Real Estate Nate. It just happens to rhyme, so that was kind of catchy. So it's real_estate_Nate_ for Instagram. And then on Facebook, you can look me up, Nate Brower, NateBrower. And feel free to reach out to me there. I like to connect with a lot of other people in the industry.
We'll put all your links in the show notes so people can click on it, find you. thanks so much for being on the show. And hold on, we'll talk after the end of the broadcast.
Okay. Thanks, Umar.
If you enjoyed this episode, please go to iTunes and leave a 5-star rating. And if you're looking for more tools, go to my website at nolimitselling.com. I've got a free mind training course there that's going to teach you some insights from the world of neuro-linguistic programming. And that is the fastest way to get better results.